When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back, Cracked fans, to another edition of the Cracked Interviews podcast. I'm your host, Alex Gruskin. It's going to be one of those weeks here on this show where we have a plethora of college tennis content coming your way. In fact, with the NCAA round of 16 looming this weekend, we figured it was time to bring back one of our favorite bits here on this podcast. It's time for us to roll out our 2024 NCAA press row. Over the course of the next 4 days, I will do my best to interview each of the remaining head coaches for our 32 men's and women's teams still alive in the Division I NCAA tennis tournament. I will try my best also to ask each coach the same series of questions. Things like, what were the highlights of your 2024 season? What were the biggest surprises throughout the course of the year? What is the advice you would give yourself if you could go back to January and do so? And then, of course, we get into things like trivia, non-team-specific storylines, and so much more. I promise all of you will enjoy this exercise, and I sincerely hope this will help prepare all of you for this weekend's upcoming NCAA action. Of course, those round of 16 matches are going to be available on our Crack Rackets YouTube channel. Our coverage starts Friday, so hopefully this will again prepare all of you for that action. Hopefully you listeners will be inspired by what you hear and come tune into our coverage of postseason play. With that said, it's time for our 2024 NCAA press row. Westhoff, let's get to it. The man that sings tries it. The amazing Mr. Please, Please, Please himself. Joining us on the podcast once again today is a returning champion here on this show. Of course, a man whose team helped provide us some of the best drama of the opening weekend of the NCAA tournament as they earned a dramatic 4-3 come-from-behind victory over Georgia Tech. Welcome back onto our show, Texas women's tennis assistant coach Justin Butch. Coach, first of all, it is always great to see your smiling face. Have you recovered a couple of days later from the drama?
I've just recovered today. My heart's been aching for 2 days now, so I'm fully recovered and ready to go.
Well, I'm glad to hear that because I happened to be on the broadcast for the home stretch of that match, and not only did it feature a multi-hour rain delay, which is as grueling and taxing physically as it honestly is mentally, but I got to watch you coach Malaika down the home stretch. And watching you in the ready position and the stance you're like, you're in a three-quarter squat on every point. And you have to feel it the next day.
Yeah, you know, I get nervous watching the girls. I care about them a lot and I want them to win. They like to make fun of me because, like you said, I'm like more ready than they are, you know?
you like to lead by example is describe it. But talk me through, obviously you guys take the doubles point, and I actually think from a scoreboard perspective, you were never technically trailing because out of that rain delay, you got the two straight set victories for 3-1. But obviously with Kylie coming back the way that she was, Carol and Given Roach, I think were both serving for their matches respectively at 1-6. You know, what did it mean to this group to come through, and what did you see from an execution standpoint that allowed them to do it?
I mean, it meant everything for us, right? We have our season was on the line, and we have four seniors, Malaika, Charlotte, Tanya, and Taya, who were fighting for their college tennis lives. So really, it meant everything for us. You know, I thought the rain delay, looking back now, was really good for us. After the rain delay, Tanya and Charlotte were able to get their matches done quickly to give us a 3-1 lead. And from there, it got really hairy. We knew that Malaika would most likely win her second set. and it would give us a chance to turn the match as well. But we were more so kind of counting Malaika. And then, you know, the Kylie girl played a great third set against Malaika. I think Malaika was a little nervous and wishes she could have played a little bit better. But for Vivian to turn that match around, being 2 points away from losing and winning it for us, it was huge. It meant everything.
Yeah, no, I was, again, on the call. Oh, Malaika, if you're listening, I say this with love and affection. She went 0-for-9 on game points in the first three games and lost them all on deuce points. Like, she had her chances. Not that I need to remind you, but she had her chances.
Oh, yeah.
So no, completely, like, like, it was much closer than that final scoreline. But, yeah, talk to me for Vivian there, who, you know, again, in a year where your team has dealt with some injuries, certainly all season long, and, you know, her and Charlotte, you can name a couple others, have kind of been that staple, those staples in the lineup. For her to be asked, okay, you know, we're healthy now, you're moving back to six, and she's down a set, and given Roach is serving for the match there, what, you know, what does that mean from her to come through, and what have you seen from her here in her second full year on the job?
I mean, you know, even today at practice, you could tell when a kid goes through that, even thinking about my own playing days, when you through in such a big moment, in such a big match, it gives you a lot of confidence. So I can tell Vivian, even today in practice, you know, she was feeling herself a little bit, which is great. So, you know, it's awesome for Vivian. She had a And for her to come through in the biggest moment of our tennis season was huge for us. And yeah, I'm just really happy and proud of her.
Yeah, no, again, a deserved moment for the team and a really fun match from start to finish. And, you know, all season long, again, there have been a bunch of highlights for you all. You look at the record now, 23-5 overall in the season. I think you went 12-1 in conference play, and you're 13-1 overall to end the season at home. Obviously, a lot of different pieces contributed to that, but a quote that sticks out to me of anything any coach has told me all season long, when I was talking to Howard at Big 12 Championships, I was asking him about Malaika and her growth, and he made the comment that he thinks Malaika could legitimately make a run to the singles title come the individual event. And, you know, it's just like worth remembering, during those back-to-back national championship runs 2 years ago, she had to fight for her spot in the lineup, had to fight to play. And now, you know, this year she's been asked to play in the top three all season long. Just talk to me about what you've seen. Like, why has she been able to make this sort of leap in her final year?
Well, I think the leap in the final year has come from, you know, personal growth just as a person. Yeah. Malaika's always been a really good tennis player, but she's gotten a lot tougher and a lot more mature since I've known her, which is three years ago. You know, like you said, she was a 7 or 8 on the outside looking in, and we've done a lot of work on the court. Of course, you won't find a kid who's a more reliable and harder worker than Malaika. But like I said, I think a lot of it just has to do more so with her personal growth as a person. That's kind of allowed her to believe in herself and maintain that belief in the tough moments, you know?
Yeah, and I feel like for someone with her game style who likes to go after that forehand, right, that's so important, like that belief. You see it and just how willing she's to hit it now.
Yeah, exactly. The name of the game, I mean, there's so many good players in college tennis now. A lot of it is decided by just, like, what version of you is showing up, you know? And that's one thing that Malaika has just done a much better job of as she gets older. You know, there's days where you're scared and you're nervous, and there's days where it's easy to be confident, but how do you manage yourself, and how do you get yourself to show up as the best version of you on game day?
Yeah, no, and I feel like this year your team, you know, again, starts in a season where you had Nicole for the fall and then she left and year leaves, and you think, all right, we're going to get Charlotte KP in, but not eligible this year. And you think, okay, right, you know, we're going to have still, we have this returners and all these different people. And now Sabina can't play singles for 6 weeks. And, you know, you're asked to have all these people step in. What's it been like on your end? Just again, you know, year three at Texas, year two in this full-time assistant role. Like, talk me through what that ride's been like this year, because through it all, 23-5 ain't too shabby.
Yeah, you know, I would agree with you. It ain't too shabby, but I love my job. I really do. But it's been stressful. Like you said, we've went through a lot this year. Losing Nicole a couple weeks before the season, she wanted to play professional tennis. We thought we'd get Charlotte KP. We didn't. Sabina, you know, was our number one player and doing really well up there. And then we've lost her to an injury. Now she's finally coming back. But it's been really a challenging year, up and down year. I've learned a lot just from Howard. And, you know, there's so many difficult situations and how he handles it. Obviously I'm involved and I'm in the room and I'm doing all the decisions with him, but to be able to see how he kind of handles these tough situations, it's been something else to the rest of my career from here.
Yeah, absolutely. Obviously through that adversity, opportunities come. Talk to me about the freshman Lieberman, because I got to see her at Big 12s, and, you know, again, I kind of liked what I saw there, and I know, you know, probably coming into there, you think, oh, we're not going to have to play her. If we do, it'll be sparingly at that sixth spot. For 6 weeks there, it was like, hey, we need you here at six. What'd you see from her in year one?
I've been impressed with her. You know how, I mean, you know how it is as a freshman. College tennis is different to anything anything anywhere else, professional tennis, junior tennis. It's a whole different world. And for her to come in January and to perform like she has, I've been really pleased with her. She also was dealing with some gnarly shin splints. So at one point it looked like we were going to be down to five.
UCLA match, you were down to four.
Yeah, we were down to four and really three, because Vivian also was one of the girls that were puking and got sick, but she just tried to play. She couldn't, but it's been a real challenge. But Shahaf has done fantastic, and she's improved. She's a really nice kid. She's a team player, so it's been great to have her.
How many times this year have you called Tanya Taya and Taya Tanya?
Yeah, I often, because I get excited, you know. So let's go, Taya, Tanya. It's too similar, but they love to let me know about it when I mess up. So.
That's good. What's it been like to have Tanya in year one? Just I know you only get her for 1 year, but that sort of addition, obviously the pedigree she came in with. I know there were some bumps early, but it does feel like she's starting to really find her form here of late.
She's definitely found her form. You know, when I met her on her recruiting visit, she said she wanted to come to a school where she would have the opportunity to play the really big matches, the biggest matches that college tennis has to offer. And I kind of felt that radiating off of her against Georgia Tech. She was really locked in and focused and ready to just run through a wall. And I think that kind of rubbed off on the kids next to her. So, you know, Tanya loves tennis. She can't get enough tennis. We have to tell her to calm down sometimes, 4 hours per day. But no, really, she's been fantastic to work with. I'm really happy she came to Texas for this year.
Yeah, no, again, that piece that has certainly led to much of the success you guys have had this season. And in that success, I'm sure there have been a bunch of different highlights for you, for the group. I'm asking every representative of each team. I'm coming up with my list of nominees for the highlights of this year, and then I want to hear from you all. You ready to hear my nominees?
Sure, I'm ready.
All right, I think when you look at this season, and again, a bunch of different things you could point to.
Yeah,
this is my sneak honorable mention candidate. Every match Maya Joint wins is probably a sneaky highlight, but then also like kind of terrifying, because you're like, all right, but can we lose this one just so you know you're not top 100? We can get you to come to school. So I think that belongs on the list. Like obviously, when three of your five losses are 4-3, a lot of things have gone right for a team, for your team. And I think you kind of mentioned it earlier, that resilience, it's hard to quantify that in a specific match, but through all the injuries, 23-5, top 10 team, like that has to be a highlight. Malika clicking the way she has, that has to be a highlight of this season. I'm trying to think of if I have any other good goofy ones I'm missing here. I'm sure there's some. Oh, the Ohio State win. Oh, my God. The Ohio State win at the National Indoors. Come on. That was incredible. Yep. What's the highlight of this 2024 Texas season for you?
You know, I think just the fact that a lot of people have had to come up and were put in positions they probably didn't expect they'd be in. And just to see them perform and accept the result highlight here coming up this Friday, hopefully. But just to see the kids that, you know, I don't know if Malaika thought she'd play number one and be top 20 and have the most wins in college tennis and qualify for doubles, NCAA, and, you know, just Shahaf was a little worried midway through the season that she wouldn't get much opportunity, and she ended up getting a lot of opportunity and winning. So, you know, just those kinds of highlights, I would say, have been the highlight for me as the coach this year.
No, I love to hear that. On the other side of the coin, unexpected developments. I'm sure every text you got where it's like, hey, X and Y are out this weekend, that's number one on the list. But, you know, again, to I'm sure even, by the way, being on the border there for top eight seeds come the NCAA tournament, I'm sure that was a little unexpected as well. But, I mean, again, I'm sure there are some positive unexpecteds. What surprised you most about this year?
What surprised me most, do a great job of getting prepared for the matches playing. We work hard and we throw a lot of ourselves at it into the kids with the private lessons and the practices. And, you know, we're working on ourselves and our attitudes and our mental sides of the game. So to be honest with you, Alex, even though we lost so many pieces this year and had our struggles with injuries, I'm really not truly surprised that these kids were able to step up, because we always tell them in the big moments, like, the work's already done. We're prepared for this. Now let's go play and see where the chips fall. So,
yeah, I also think I could put the unexpected development. There was like a 15-minute stretch there with four-person match against UCLA where it was like, oh, my God, are you guys going to win this? And that was kind of like, I'm sure that 15 minutes of, oh my God, we might do it, was, that was a little unexpected, given all the circumstances surrounding that one.
Yeah.
Had there been any things in particular you've been focused on coaching this year that you've seen come to fruition? Things, I know you and Howie, obviously, you're collaborating and the mission's in mind, but maybe it's like, you know what? I spent a lot of time working on the Sasnaskaya backhand line, or a lot of different time working on whatever it may be, something like that that's been a pet project of yours this season.
I mean, every kid has a pet project like that. Sure. Our program is focused on having an individualized plan for each kid when it comes to the individual.
Yeah.
Has their own plan, what they need to work on, and, you know, done a lot of work on her forehand, Malaka, her forehand, adding a little bit of spin, Taya being able to use her backhand the way she wants it. It's all really individualized work for each kid. So, there's not one in particular, but it's always rewarding to see your hard work come to fruition.
Yeah. How's your game right now?
My game is better than ever. The girls can't touch me. They have no chance. Don't even need a warm up, whatever racket. No, but seriously, I'm playing so much tennis. So my game is just fine. I'm fit and I still hit the ball just fine.
That's all I can really ask for. Well, in case you're curious what I've been working on, it's a time machine and I can only make it back to January. That's where I want to send you. What advice would you give your January self?
Give my January self some advice. Let's see. You know, the first year was a challenge for me because I just felt like I didn't have all my bearings. I didn't really know what my responsibilities were as an assistant coach. This year has been a huge improvement. You know, I know what's expected of me. I know what my responsibilities are. I know what I'm supposed to be doing. So just being able to know that and then focus on my, on what I want to bring to the table, you know, individually. So, you know, I would just tell myself to slow down, I guess, to take it easy and kind of let the process happen. Howard's been great. I'm learning from him still every day. So, yeah, I feel like I'm in a really good spot as a coach.
Yeah, absolutely. I should have mentioned, by the way, in the unexpected developments, I was watching you guys play. I'm trying to remember who it was early in the season, but it was around February, pre-National Indoors. And I'm watching your third coach on the sideline. And I go, hey, I think that's Christina. And I was like, well, that is Christina. I was like, wait, she's now at Texas. It's got to be like, you know what set I want to see? It's not any of your team rosters. It's you versus her in practice. I'll say like, she'll get after it. She's the one who might go after you.
Yeah, she's a warrior and a competitor. And she's been just fantastic for us. She's been really good for us. Being able to add her, she's really smart when it comes to tennis and a really good coach. I know she played for Howard, so they have some history going back, and they've had a lot of success together. So, you know, it's been really good to have someone like Christina on staff as well.
Yeah, just remember, she might have played for him, but you two won a championship together. So you got that. Yeah, so number one.
The Christina Sanchez story is crazy as well.
Three sports.
I think maybe the only athlete with three SEC championships in three different sports. And two sports where she's like the star player, you know, soccer and tennis. Basketball, we can't give her that one.
I asked her, I was like, what was more thrilling? Clinching a 4-3 match for your team or making the 1-3 you made in your career? And she goes, making the 3 and it wasn't even close. She's like, look, I can play tennis every day, but you know what was cool? I was like, yeah, that checks out. She's like, or scoring a goal. I was like, yeah, also, again, checks out.
I didn't even know she scored a 3. I'll have to ask her about it.
Yeah, I think there was 1-3. I remember when I was interviewing her, I went back and I was like, all right, but what was the number? And it was like 7 field goals or... I'll have to go double check the stats, but still three sports, crazy. All right, crazy. Under the premise that I know you love them all, I know you trust them all, but let the record show, no coach has copped out of answering this question yet.
Okay,
match is tied at 3-3 overall. It's a third set to decide things. Who's the player on your team that you say, you know what, win or lose, I can sleep tonight knowing she's who we go down with?
3-3 against UCLA. I get to pick the player that's left on court. Oof. I mean, wow. I'm going to probably roll with Sabina Zainalova. She's just an absolute tiger. She's a warrior. Win or lose, I kind of know what I'm going to get, which is kind of 100% effort and fighting for every point. So I'd really choose any of my girls, but if I had to, I'm going to go with Sabina.
Yeah, totally fair. Talk about her last 6 weeks and how hard she's been fighting to get healthy for this postseason.
Oh, it's been a roller coaster. She obviously wanted back on the court as soon as possible, but it's more than that. We've been working with doctors and trainers and our strength coach, trying to get her healthy as quick as possible. You know, it's great to have her back, but, you know, last week she kind of suffered the consequences of not playing for so long and just being a little bit unsure of what she's trying to do and herself on the big points. But it's been a roller coaster. But in the end, we all want the same thing, for her to play and for her to win matches for Texas. So.
Yeah, no, and again, the postseason's just better if she's a part of it. Let me move away from your team for a little bit. Is there a team, player, coach from across the country this year, men's or women's, that has caught your eye and impressed you?
Team, player, coach. I mean, you have to be impressed with what Oklahoma State has done. They're undefeated leading up to the NCAA championships and going to be able to host it. So what they've done is impressive. They're a tough team and well-coached team. Chris Young and Jaime do a great job. I'd have to roll with Oklahoma State there.
Yeah, no, I mean, again, undefeated. I'm glad you brought that up because I want you to hold that thought in your mind for a question I have later. Outside of Texas UCLA, which is a really good one, you got a favorite Sweet 16 matchup that isn't your own?
I mean, it has to be A&M and UNC, right? Well, that's like a barn burner of a match, two powerhouses. A&M adding Carson at the end of the season makes them even stronger. I'm interested as to what happened.
Yeah, I've cleared my Friday calendar, and it was going to be busy otherwise. But yeah, I will be watching that instead. Do you think there's a national championship favorite right now?
Do I think there's a national championship favorite? I mean, again, you have to give it to the home team hosting, the undefeated team. They'd be the favorites, but being the favorite ain't always the best thing. I'm sure that comes with a lot of pressure that they'll be feeling as they play. So if I had to say a favorite, again, I'll go with Oklahoma State.
I don't think that's unfair. All right, some trivia for you, and then one more question before I let you go, because you've mentioned Oklahoma State. They're undefeated, right? And it's been a while since we've had an undefeated team run the gauntlet, win a national championship. Can you name the last undefeated men's and women's national champions? It's a competition, by the way, I'm having amongst you coaches. There is someone who went 4-for-4, but they cheated. So let the record show that there's an asterisk next to that coach right now.
Okay. The last undefeated I think I'm going to get these wrong, but I'm going to go with last undefeated team for the women. Could it be the Stanford team that beat Howard and Christina? I think it was 2013 Stanford.
It was so you got the program correct. Year is off. Okay. It was. Do you want a second guess at the year, or can I give it to you?
No, you give it to me.
2006 Stanford. So it's been nearly two decades on the women's
2006.
Side.
And yeah. What team? Who was there?
That's a great,
the players?
Above my pay grade. I haven't gone that far.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the boys, man, I don't know. I don't even have a guess.
Okay, but so you're class of 2017, right?
I'm class of 2017. It has to be UVA.
Yes. So I was going to say, so we're the same class. This is our era. It's UVA. Do you know which UVA?
I mean, it has to be one of the Corintelli, Kwiatkowski, Wiersholm, Altamirano, Richard, Kwiatkowski years. Let me go with 2015.
Shockingly, it was before they came. They never got the perfect record. It was the 2013 team that got it right before we went to college. So again, we were busy. It was our senior year of high school, where Jameer Jenkins' senior year, he's a match away from the Triple Crown.
Yes.
Loses to Roll in the singles final. But that's the Mitchell Frank and Adrian Puget toe touch match. And that season,
the toe touch match. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Okay, well, I got both programs, you know?
That's what I'm saying. No, you're on the leaderboard. Like, again, our winners right now, it should be cheating that Andreas Pedroso is 3-for-4 because he was an assistant coach on that Virginia team. So it's kind of like,
yeah,
you know, again,
that's
exactly.
Cheating,
and Chris Young is pursuing perfection. And so it's not a surprise that he knows who the women's team is either, because it's like, who am I chasing?
Right.
So, like, if you exclude those two and the cheater, you're right there. You're right there with everyone.
Yeah. I'm at the top of the leaderboard here.
Yeah, exactly. It's always a competition. Well, then last but not least for you, UCLA rematch coming up this weekend. They, to me, are maybe the most fascinating team in college tennis because we didn't get to see them at the national indoors, and yet they had match points on Oklahoma State in that kickoff weekend.
Right.
You know, I can't count the match they played against you guys earlier in the year because you had a body and a half available for that match. And so I'm just fascinated what the approach is for you all as you get ready for this and what it's going to take to get over the hump this weekend.
I think the approach and the message that we're kind of telling to our girls is that we're going to need everyone, you know, we're going to need everyone to do their part. Five out of the six singles matches ain't going to cut it. Two out of the three doubles matches ain't going to cut it. They need to bandy together and trust each other and give everything they've got from courts 1 to 6, because this is a really good team. And it's one of those matches that really either team can win. And it's going to come down to a court or two, a point or two here and there, something close. So that's the message.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun one to watch again in L.A. coming up this weekend. Texas taking on UCLA. A couple of big brands as well. I like it. It's just, you know, again, that's what this part of the college tennis universe, season calendar should be. And, you know, again, something I always enjoy getting to watch the Longhorns and compete, something I always enjoy getting to see you and have the opportunity to chat. So appreciate you taking the time to come on the show today, and obviously looking forward to watching you all compete this weekend.
Yeah, Alex, thanks for having me. I enjoy it as well. So thank you.
Yeah, of course. And it's Hook'em.
Yeah, it's Hook'em. Praise the Lord and Hook'em.
I love it. I appreciate it.
That's,
good to see
that's
you.
Our women's basketball coach's his line. So I'll steal it here.
Yeah, as you should. Again, it doesn't matter which Lord. Praise the Lord and Hook'em horns. I can get behind that. I appreciate it. And again, appreciate chatting with you. Good to see you, my friend.
All right. Thank you, Alex. See ya.